Chip Heitzig warns us that if we are willing to follow Christ in all we do, people won't always like us.
A righteous person is always a torment to a wicked person. He doesn't have to be obnoxious. He just has to love God and be righteous. In the world, you will have tribulation, the Bible says. A righteous person living in the light shines that light upon that person living in darkness and makes that person feel awfully agitated. So that person thinks, what can I do to get this person out of my hair, out of my life? I've shared with you before that newspaper article where they polled Americans and they said, okay, think of all the people in America you could have as your neighbors. What people do you least want living next to you? The highest percentage was fundamentalist Christians.
Make the connection.
Billy Graham is one of the rare preachers who has had a chance to preach to the entire world. One of his largest efforts was beamed by satellite around the world to over 160 different countries, was translated into 48 different languages, and reached an estimated 1.5 billion people, a little more than a sixth of the entire population of the earth. Well, today in The Connection, Skip Heitzig shares with us a message that will be given by a couple of preachers that the whole world will hear, and he'll also tell us about how the world will respond. But before we get started, you can be a part of the reason people all over the world will hear the good news of the gospel. You don't need to be an evangelist like Billy Graham, but you do need to get involved. Here's more about becoming a global connector.
The land of England is rich in history and tradition. From Westminster Abbey to the changing of the guard at Buckingham Palace in London, there was a time when it was said that the sun did not set on the British Empire. There was also a time when English missionaries were sent worldwide from churches that were devoted to the Great Commission and the preaching of God's Word. It's not a coincidence that the British Empire no longer spans the globe, and English churches are no longer known for powerful preaching. What can bring a new day to the land of Tyndale, Spurgeon, and Martin Lloyd-Jones? Only a fresh move of God's Spirit and the full counsel of God's Word. You can be a part of taking the connection to nations such as England as we expand around the world. And when you sign up, we'll send you a free monthly resource download. This month, you'll hear the message, She Wiped His Feet With Her Hair, from Alwyn Wall, pastor of Calvary of Westminster in London.
And I think this picture of Mary worshiping Jesus, I think this is my favorite illustration of a person's devotional life. It's a great picture of what devotional life should be like.
Join the Global Connectors for just $25 a month and help make an eternal difference as we expand the reach of the connection. Join the Global Connectors today for just $25 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org.
Well, Global Connectors are making it possible for us to take the good news of the gospel to Mongolia, Macedonia, New Zealand, and beyond. Find out more at our website, connectionradio.org. You know, the technology we have available to us today makes the events of Revelation seem a little less far-fetched. How could the entire world hear the message of two unknown preachers in Israel? We'll see if we can find out in today's study.
And make the connection.
Open your Bibles once again to the book of Revelation, chapter 11, and let's get caught up with Skip Heitzig as he continues our study.
Again, the question, who are they? Answer, I don't know. We don't know for sure. You can't be dogmatic, but I have a hunch. It's my opinion, and it happens to be the opinion of most commentators and scholars in Revelation. It could be that these two guys are Moses and Elijah. Come back. You say, now that is weird. That's so far-fetched. Why would I say that? For four reasons. Number one, past history. Look at the works they do. These two witnesses sound very similar to the works done by Moses and Elijah. Elijah called fire down from heaven. When King Ahaziah came to arrest Elijah and sent 50 troops to arrest one guy, they came and stood outside of his dwelling and said, "Man of God, come with us." And Elijah said, "If I'm a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and destroy you." Boom, they were zapped instantly. Elijah had the power to declare that it would not rain for 3 years, and it did not rain. Moses had the power to turn the waters of the Nile into blood, and the signs sound very, very similar to what the two witnesses do. There's a second reason, and it's prophecy. The last prophet of the Old Testament, Malachi, predicted that Elijah would come before the great and terrible day of the Lord, the notable day of the Lord. He would come as a witness to the nation of Israel. And besides that, the Jews historically believed that Moses would come before the Messiah comes. Because in Deuteronomy 18, Moses said, "Another prophet will come like unto me, him you shall hear." And a lot of Jews inferred that would be Moses again. Do you remember what they asked John the Baptist when he was preaching? They came to him and the Jews said, "Are you Elijah?" He said, "No." He said, "Are you that prophet?" He said, "No, I'm neither of them." But there was that expectation because of prophecy. There's a third reason, and that is precedence. A New Testament precedence has been set. Moses and Elijah have done this before, you know. You've read the Gospels, right? And one day Jesus went up on a high mountain and he was transfigured in glory, and Peter, James, and John were gawking at this. Wow. He was transfigured in glory, and who was with him? Moses and Elijah, the scripture says. And they were talking about the future kingdom, the things that would happen in Jerusalem. And Peter, James, and look, it's Moses. Man, it's Elijah. So they've already done it once. There's a fourth reason. I call it their passing. Both left this world in an unusual way, right? Elijah never died. He was taken up into heaven in a chariot, a fire, the scripture says. And Moses, though he died, we never know what happened to his body, except there was an argument about his body. Jude tells us in Jude verse 9, "Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses." Why all the argument over a dead body? Unless God wanted to retain that body in the future for his own purpose. Now, think of it for just a moment. What two guys would have more of an impact on the Jewish nation than Moses, who represents the law, and Elijah, seen as the greatest prophet? The law and the prophets, testifying as they did on the Mount of Transfiguration about Jesus Christ. That's a dramatic impact. It could, maybe it's just two guys that sound like them, but it could be them indeed. Verse 5, "If anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies." That's a frightening possibility. You've heard of bad breath. This is deadly breath. Can you imagine the news cameras following these guys around and somebody comes out there with a bullet and the prophet just goes, wiped out. They have the power to shut up heaven. No rain falls in the days of their prophecy. Power over the waters to turn them to blood, to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. Now we come to the suppression of their ministry. These are powerful guys, but, verse 7, "When they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit," this is the first mention now of the beast in Revelation. This is the Antichrist. You'll see him mentioned 36 more times in this book. "He comes up to destroy. He will make war against them and overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom in Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And those from the people, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to be put into graves. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, make merry, and send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth." These guys are in-your-face prophets. For 3.5 years, they will be interpreting for the world all of the cataclysms, the destruction, the hordes of demons out of the abyss, the heavens falling seemingly, the sea being destroyed. They will be interpreting this for people. They will be saying, this is God's judgment on wicked people, on wickedness, on rejection. And do you think anybody's going to like to hear that message? Listen, people will not be going up to them wanting to shake their hand saying, nice message, Reverend. They'll hate them. They'll want to destroy them. They will think, how can we get rid of these guys? And one day their wish will be granted as the beast, the Antichrist, will make war against them and destroy them. But I want to draw your attention to a very, very important phrase that should bring great comfort to you. It says, when they finish their testimony. You see, they couldn't die until God was done with them on the earth. Well, once they finish their testimony, okay, this is what I wanted them to perform. Now, time's up. I believe, likewise, a child of God doing the work of God in the will of God is invincible until God's done. And when God, I don't believe in untimely deaths for a Christian. When God's done, it's over. And you know what? When God's done, who wants to stay anyway? Knowing what we have for us. No, please. I'd rather just stay on earth. I love these taxes. And I love the tribulation of the earth. This is great. Hey, when it's over, great. Let's go for it. And get off into the kingdom. Now, have you ever had a brush with death? Maybe a close accident? And you go, wow. An inch closer and I'd have been toast. But then afterwards you stop to evaluate your life. Hey, maybe God has a purpose for me living. That's how we ought to think. The other day I walked into a store and walked out with a salesman, and my friend had been witnessing to him, and he'd recognized my name, and he said, you know, years ago I was in Youth for Christ. I said, well, great. What are you doing with it now? Are you an adult for Christ? He goes, well, no, I'm not doing anything. In fact, I haven't been to church in a long time. He said, but this last month, I just had a 6-vessel bypass. That's as many as you can do. On my heart, they said, another week, you'd have been dead. I came in for a checkup. I never got up because they did this operation, and now I'm back up. And I can't help but think that God spared my life. And of course, the follow-up question is, why did he? And what are you doing about it? The Apostle Paul said to those Ephesian elders in Acts 20, I want to be able to say I have finished my course with joy. At the end of his life, he said that. I've fought the fight. I've finished the race. I've done what God wanted me to do. Now it's time to go for glory. And so when they finish their testimony, they go home. Now in verse 9, it says, this is wild. Then those from the people's tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies for 3.5 days. How on earth will all of the world be able to see one event at the same time? Well, now it's obvious to us, satellite television. It's like, this is old hat, Skip. But do you realize before 30 years ago, this scripture was scoffed at? How could anybody all over the world at the same time see one event? They couldn't, but they can now. CNN will be there. ABC, NBC, all the networks. And they won't even bury these guys, it says. In fact, they're giving presents to each other because they're dead. This is like a satanic Christmas. This is like Operation Tribulation Child. They're excited because these preachers of the truth are dead. They give gifts to each other. Hey, here's your present. Happy Dead Witnesses Day. Oh, thank you so much. It's what I've always wanted. Mark this. This is the only rejoicing in the entire tribulation period. And what are they angry about? They've had cataclysm after cataclysm after destruction. But they're happy because the two preachers of the truth are finally dead. Get these right-wing fanatics out of here. They're finally dead. Yes, party on, dude. And they do it for days. They do it for days. A righteous person is always a torment to a wicked person. He doesn't have to be obnoxious. He just has to love God and be righteous. In the world, you will have tribulation, the Bible says. A righteous person living in the light shines that light upon that person living in darkness and makes that person feel awfully agitated. So that person thinks, what can I do to get this person out of my hair, out of my life? I've shared with you before that newspaper article where they polled Americans and they said, okay, think of all the people in America you could have as your neighbors. What people do you least want living next to you? The highest percentage was fundamentalist Christians. We are seen as the roadblock to progress and tolerance. Even Dr. Death himself, Jack Kevorkian, the guru of physician-assisted suicide, said, the religious right is to blame for hindering our freedom. Well, let's close it off here with the sanction of their ministry, or the summit of their ministry, in verses 11 through 13. Now, please, picture the scene. You got to really picture it to get the impact. Now, after 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and I love the way the Bible understates truth, and great fear fell on all those who saw them. Oh, you betcha. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. This is a personal two-man rapture. In the same hour, there was a great earthquake, and 1/10 of the city fell. In the earthquake, 7,000 people were killed, and the rest were afraid and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly. Now, picture that CNN or ABC news reporter, the camera's there. These guys have been out decaying for 3 days. Nobody's burying them. Here we are on CNN. We're so excited to see these guys still dead. They're decaying. I mean, they're just filming this all around the world. The guy's got the microphone, and I picture some guy watching maybe Monday Night Football, sitting on the couch, chugging his beer, eating his chips, and he's watching this. He's watching football, but all of a sudden it says, we interrupt this for a special report from Jerusalem now. These three prophets that are dead, and we're so glad they are lying over here. And then suddenly the reporter goes, and they're getting up. They're alive. Think of the fear and the dread as a resurrection would take place. And then they just get up and they rise into heaven. And you say, wait a minute. Wouldn't now be the time for them to preach the gospel? They've seen a resurrection in their midst. 3.5 days dead, that's pretty substantiated when you see a resurrection. Well, after seeing such a miracle, that would be the time to stand up now and preach. You'd probably have a great altar call, right? Well, not according to Jesus. Jesus Christ said in Luke 16, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. The signs and wonder people say, no, signs and wonders make the gospel believable. No, they don't. The Holy Spirit makes it believable. And they just get up and they go into heaven. Their ministry is over. They are caught up into heaven, but I want to kind of end on this note. While they were on earth, what were they? Witnesses. They were faithful witnesses. God calls them my two witnesses. And that's the way to live, right? Isn't the way to live as God's witness, so that you don't get to the end of your life and be an old, regretting person? So that you don't have to look back and say, I wish I wouldn't have wasted my life. I wasted my time on so much other stuff that didn't matter. It's better to, instead of waste your life, invest your life in something that will outlive it and be a witness. Jesus, before he left, said, you shall be my witnesses. What an awesome prospect. But did you know that 95% of the Christian church in America have never once led another person to Christ? And when they asked them why, most of them, 43%, said, because I tried it once and it backfired. And I'm scared after the first attempt. 20% just said, I'm flat scared of people. And that's understandable. It's hard to do anything in your own strength. But being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, as the oil flows into your life, what you can do. what you can do. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. Somebody once said, the church is the only society on earth that exists for the benefit of non-members. This isn't a bless me club. This is a place where we get fed and we go out and share. Yeah, we do get edified. We do worship, but then we get equipped to go share. And it's interesting, this book of Revelation is at the end of the New Testament. It's the final book. It's the capstone. It's as if God is giving us the opportunity to hear all of the stuff that will unfold so that we could warn people and be his witnesses. Say, well, that's the evangelist's job. That's Billy's job. And others who have stadium evangelism. Do you realize that if you could fill a stadium full of people every night of the week, every week of the year for 35 years, imagine that's a long crusade, 35 years straight, every night, having 35,000 different people a night, and at the altar call have 1,000 decisions for Christ, if you could do that, at the end of those 35 years, you would be further behind the task of world evangelism than the day you started. Because the population of the earth is growing so exponentially, there would be much more born into the world who don't know Christ at that time. But here's the good news. If you were the only Christian on earth and there were no others, and you said, God, fill me with your spirit to lead one other person to Christ in this year, just one a year, and if in 12 months you led one other person to Christ, so now there's two, and you both prayed and evangelized and led another person to Christ so that in year two you'd have four Christians, and those four decided to win another person, so in year three you'd have eight. In a half a century, the world would be won to Christ. The world would be won to Christ. You are witnesses unto Jesus, and so am I. What a great prospect before this time of the end comes.
I know it's hard to believe that you could change the world, but when you're bold enough to share the good news about Jesus Christ, you can do just that. I know it may not seem like much. After all, it's just talking to someone about the truth of the Bible. But when we're willing and bold enough to do so, the impact is far more profound than we can ever imagine or will ever know. So be a world changer. Share Christ with someone today. And that's all the time we have for today. But before we go, we'd like to invite you to get a little glimpse into what life was like during the time of Jesus with his new DVD called The Jesus Boat Revealed.
Over 50 times the Bible mentions boats as part of the lives of Jesus, his disciples, and others around the Sea of Galilee. Now, an extraordinary documentary hosted by Skip Heitzig tells the incredible story of how two brothers discovered one of the great New Testament archaeological finds of our time and the impact it's had around the world. It's an unforgettable journey that blends a 2,000-year-old mystery with a hero of modern Israel in the story of incredible rescue and survival.
They're near Magdala, and we realize that that's where Peter and John were fishermen and where Jesus told them to cast the nets on the other side. And again, seeing the boat sort of puts the whole thing into perspective.
Order the Jesus Boat documentary featuring Skip Heitzig when you call 1-800-922-1888. Or when you visit connectionradio.org. When you call, we'll also include a teaching from Skip Heitzig called Why Christians Love Israel. The Jesus Boat Revealed, hosted by Skip Heitzig and featuring exclusive footage taken on location in Israel.
This is the Galilee of Israel. This region is the canvas that history has painted so many amazing stories on, including the mystery of an ancient boat from the first century.
Call today and order your copy for just $29 and get that special teaching from Skip Heitzig when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org.
And when you call to order that documentary, don't forget you can also pick up a copy of today's teaching. It's available for just $6, including shipping, when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. Plus, anything you share above that suggested donation will help us continue these daily broadcasts all around the world. It's just one more way you can help support the spread of the good news. So if you can share a little bit extra with your order today, that would be a big blessing. Just call 1-800-922-1888 or write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find a way into His love. Make the connection.
We've explored some dark times that are ahead for this world, but there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And we'll see what that light is in our next study, here on The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.